Thank you for that introduction. So tall fescue is one of the most abundant and hardy cool season pasture grasses used in the United States. Its hardiness derives from a fungal endophyte that produces ergot alkaloids such as ergovaline. These ergot alkaloids cause tall fescue toxicosis, which causes a huge production loss in livestock animals and leads to huge economic losses, which have been estimated to be $600 million to $1 billion per year. Condensed tannins are phenolic polymers that are produced by some forage species, such as birdsfoot trefoil, Shrisa lesbidiza, and sandpoint. Although this group has a diverse structural chemistry, all of them bind proteins. In fact, some improve the utilization of dietary nitrogen by binding dietary proteins in the rumen, preventing microbial digestion, and allowing the animal to access the higher quality protein in the abomasum. We had evidence that ergot alkaloids could, in fact, bind with tannins. So in an initial study, we used a radial diffusion assay, which quantifies protein precipitation through a protein precipitate ring in the gel. So our hypothesis was that with an increase in ergovaline concentration, we would see a reduction in tannin activity, which would then be characterized by a reduction in ring diameter of the precipitate ring. From the results of this initial study, you can see that on the y-axis as precipitate ring diameter in millimeters, we in fact saw a significantly smaller ring diameter for the endophyte-infected tall fescue seed extract, or the E-plus in green, from the control. Thus, we conducted subsequent studies looking at three different tannin-producing forages, sandpoint, Shrisa lesbidiza, and birdsfoot trefoil, but unfortunately did not see the same reduction in ring size with the addition of increasing ergovaline concentration, as seen on the x-axis, in relation to the average ring diameter on the y-axis. In fact, it seemed as though the increase in E-plus caused an increase in ring diameter, the exact opposite interaction we were looking for. Therefore, the objective of this study was to determine the possible sources of this inconsistency. We determined those four sources to be the assay itself, tannin solutions, alkaloid extracts, and human error. We eliminated human error by eliminating these possible sources, calculation error, pipetting error, and observer effect. We conducted five experiments to test the remaining variables, which were variation in ring size, variation in gel density, gel buffer pH, alkaloid protein interaction, and finally, the low assay sensitivity. We used the modified radial diffusion assay, which measured tannin activity as a function of precipitate ring formation in agarose gels as BSA as our protein. We used three ergot alkaloid solutions, ergotamine, endophyte-infected tall fescue seed extract, which was predominantly ergovaline, and endophyte-free tall fescue seed extract. We used condensed tannins extracts from three different tannin-producing species, birdsfoot trefoil, Shrisa lesbidiza, and sandpoint. To orient you to this illustration, the black surrounding ring is the limits of the petri plate. The darker gray is the agarose gel. The lighter gray in the center represents the well removed with a biopsy punch, and the small blue dots represent BSA molecules. For one of our treatments, we added just the tannins indicated by this red ring. The tannins diffused through the gel by binding to the BSA molecules. At some point, tannin binding capacity was reached, as indicated by this white precipitate ring. In another treatment, we added both the tannin and the alkaloid, indicated by the black dot, to the well. In the same way, the tannins diffuse to the protein by binding to the BSA in the gel. However, we predicted that the tannins would also bind to these alkaloid molecules, which would limit the tannin activity and give a smaller precipitate ring. In this side-by-side comparison, you can see that we predicted the tannin alkaloid treatment would cause much smaller precipitate rings. So in our experiment one looked at the variation in ring size, which accounted for potential inconsistency in the assay itself, as well as the tannins. We used one species, which was Shrisa lesbidiza, one tannin treatment, which was the same concentration throughout each treatment, and no alkaloid treatment to just see the effects of the tannin. As you can see from our coefficient of variation, between plates, we have very high coefficient of variation, as well as within each plate. Within each plate, the CV value is highlighted in red because we could not control this value with good experimental design like we could between the plates. As you can see in section 2 and 3, the ring diameters were much smaller than they were in section 6, even though the tannin concentration remained the same. For experiment two, we decided to isolate the assay as a potential source of error and looking at variation in gel density. From the gels used in experiment one, we took 8 gel biopsy samples from around the ring diameters and weighed this total and calculated the variation. As you can see in this coefficient of variation, between the plates we had a very high coefficient of variation, and within each plate, again, we were most concerned about within each plate this high coefficient of variation because we could not control it. Combining the data from experiments 1 and 2, we were able to make this graph on gel density and ring diameter. Gel density we used as average disk mass in milligrams on this x-axis and average ring diameter in millimeters on the y-axis. As you can see, there was a strong relationship between the two and a very large range of ring diameters and mass. So our question then was, how do we fix this inconsistency? Our solution was the shaker plate. As you can see with the red diamonds there, without the shaker plate, there was that large range and large correlation. As you can see with the blue squares, with the shaker plate, we were able to not only decrease the slope, therefore decreasing the relationship between the diameter and the mass, but we also had smaller ranges of variance. As you can see in the table, we were able to half the CV values for both between plates and within plates. So we decided to move on from the assay. Experiment 3 looked at the interactions between alkaloids and proteins specifically the BSA and the agarose gels. We kept the species the same, used 4 treatments as E-plus seed extract, dilute E-plus, E-minus seed extract, and methanol, lastly, to see if there were any interactions or confounding factors there. We used the same volume of each for each treatment. As you can see from this picture, no rings were formed, which thus we came to the conclusion that alkaloids do not bind to BSA and do not cause any confounding effects. And methanol does not either, so we were able to move on from alkaloid extracts. For experiment 4, we used a low assay sensitivity method derived from Hagerman in 2002. We kept the species the same and had 2 treatments of control at 0 parts per million and 5.7 parts per million E+, which were the 2 extremes of our treatments. The changes we made were halving the BSA concentration in the gels, forcing the tannins to move through more of the gel in order to bind to the same amount of BSA molecules. We removed the gels and washed them with a saline solution to remove any unbound proteins. And lastly, we stained the gels with a Peruvian blue reagent to see the gels in more clearly. Unfortunately, our results, we saw very irregular rings, which were more subjective than the original white precipitate rings. And our p-value of 0.9 indicates we saw no significant treatment effects. Thus, we moved to experiment 5, looking at different gel buffer pHs. We used the same species, the same tannin concentration, the same 2 treatments as in experiment 4, but we changed the 2 buffer pH values for which the assay was made. We used pH 5, which is indicated by the original protocol, and pH 6.5, which is more representative of a rumen situation. And tannin affinity for proteins is directly affected by this pH value. As our results on the pH 6.5 plates, no rings were formed. Through a deeper literature search, we found that BSA changes conformation at different pH values, which we then supposed were the reason why these BSA could no longer bind to the tannins in the same way. At pH 5, we did have rings, but still no significant treatment effect at our p-value of 0.3. Thus, we attempted to correct for this by eliminating all potential variation, which we used the same method of removing the 8 samples, and calculating covariant analysis to no avail. Our p-value was still too high to be considered significant. So our question is, now what? We decided to go back to the start with the original experiment. We used 1 species of sanfoin, 2 tannins in the vegetative and early bud stage, and 3 alkaloid treatments. As you can see from our results, we did see the same significant decrease in ring diameter from the control group to the ergovaline seed extract. We also saw a decrease in ring diameter from the 2 controls, but only in the vegetative did we see significant decrease in ring diameter. In the 2 controls, we wondered why there was a decrease in that ring diameter with no other treatment effect. Through a deeper literature search, we found that as tannin-containing forage species mature, their tannins increase in their degree of polymerization and are no longer able to bind proteins the same way. So in conclusion, we propose that tannins do have the potential to bind ergot alkaloids, but it's highly dependent on the stage of maturity of these tannin-containing forages. Unfortunately, the maturity of our harvested forages in the original study of sanfoin, Streusel, lesbidisa, and bird's foot trefoil were unknown, so we were unable to correctly identify this interaction. For future studies, we suggest testing the tannins from the plants at different stages of maturity. We also suggest determining the structural chemistry of tannins, as this area is still quite unknown. And lastly, looking at tannin affinity for alkaloids in the presence of other antagonistic compounds, such as proline-rich salivary enzymes and other salivary enzymes, as well as phosphates, among other compounds. I would like to thank these people from the University of Kentucky College of Food, Agriculture, and Environment. Here are references used for this study, and I would love to take any questions at this time.
Judges, you have 3 minutes.
First question, I guess, Sarah, good job.
Thank you.
Can you explain how your research affects or benefits the farmers of Kentucky?
Most definitely. So Kentucky is specifically uses Top Husky the most with the development of Kentucky 31. And this, again, this endophyte gives the plant its hardiness and allows it to survive harsher winters and hotter summers and drought. So producers want to use this because it can survive all those climate effects that we see in Kentucky and across the U.S. However, this causes Top Husky toxicosis because these ergot alkaloids cause vasoconstriction and limits blood flow to different areas. It can cause agalactia, dystocia, among other reproductive and production performance methods. So if we could potentially feed condensed tannins, potentially like integrating it into a tall fescue feeding source, we could hopefully bind those ergot alkaloids and prevent them from being absorbed by the animal to cause that vasoconstriction and that ergot and the tall fescue toxicosis. So that way they can still get all the production methods from this really hardy plant, but not have the production losses.
Any other questions from the judges? Thank you, Sarah, again.
Thank you so much.